I speak to a lot of newer agents who start out part-time and ultimately would like to be a full-time realtor. Well, today we're going to talk to an agent that did in a massive way. Stay tuned. This episode of Keeping It Real is brought to you by Real Geeks. How many homes are you going to sell this year? Do you have the right tools? Is your website turning soft leads into interested buyers? Are you spending money on leads that aren't converting? Well, Real Geeks is your solution. Find out why agents across the country choose Real Geeks as their technology partner. Real Geeks was created by an agent for agents. They pride themselves on delivering a sales and marketing solution so that you can easily generate more business. Their agent websites are fast and built for lead conversion with a smooth search experience for your visitors. Real Geeks also includes an easy-to-use agent CRM. So once a lead signs up on your website, you can track their interest and have great follow-up conversations. Real Geeks is loaded with a ton of marketing tools to nurture your leads and increase brand awareness. Visit realgeeks.com/keepingitrealpod and find out why realtors come to Real Geeks to generate more business. Again, visit realgeeks.com/keepingitrealpod. And now, on to our show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the largest podcast made by real estate agents and for real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I am your guide and host through the show. And in just a moment, we're going to be speaking with top producer and National Association of Realtor 30 Under 30 Award winner, Cameron Beening. Before we get to Cameron, just a few reminders. Please support our sponsors. They are the ones that help keep this ship afloat. We love them and they are here to serve you. Please reach out to them and check out the products and services they offer. Also, tell a friend about this podcast. And lastly, leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show and what you like, and also what you'd like us to improve or change. We listen and we make those changes to better serve your needs. All right, let's get to the main event. My conversation with Cameron Beening. Today on the show, my guest is Cameron Beening. Let me tell you more about Cam. Now, Cam is a performer at heart. He actually studied musical theater at Andersen University in Indiana before making his way to Main Street, USA at Walt Disney World as a performer in parades and shows. And he jumped into real estate in 2019. He's been helping clients navigate their home adventures through education ever since. Cam was recently recognized as one of the National Association of Realtors class of 2023's 30 Under 30, which is a huge, huge honor. And the Indianapolis Realtors Foundations also awarded him the All-Star of the Year, also an incredible honor. He was awarded the Northside MIBOR Realtors of the Year 2022, Denver Hut Rising Star 2021, and Rookie of the Year for his brokerage in 2020. Cam recently served as the assistant team leader of the KW Indy Metro North, helping to grow Keller Williams and mentor, get this, over 270 agents, which is crazy. Cam is a resident of Fishers, Indiana, with his husband, Tyson, and their two precious pups, Tucker and Kipper. Together, Cam and Tyson run a thriving real estate team that services all of Central Indiana. To learn more about Cam, and by the way, if you are an agent in the Indianapolis area and you would like to work with Cam and his team, please reach out to them. The easiest way to learn more about what they can offer you is go to their website, which is thebeeninggroup.kw.com. Beening is spelled a little differently. Don't worry about it. Go to our show notes. We'll have a direct link there, and you can go right to his website. And also follow him on Instagram. His Instagram, we will also have a link to in the show notes, but it is IM_CAM_IAM. So IM_CAM_IAM. We'll have a link to that for you. Cam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
I can't believe how much you've done in your short tenure in real estate. It's really, I've interviewed a lot of people on the show over the years, like hundreds and hundreds, and this is truly remarkable. So congratulations on all your success. It really is inspiring. It's really fun to talk to newer agents like yourself who are just crushing it. Let's go to the beginning though, because you started out in performing. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear about, you know, making the shift from, you know, musical theater to real estate, because that is quite a shift. Or maybe not, I don't know. But let's hear about it. So why this shift? You started out, you know, did you want to be an actor? Was that sort of the goal? Or
yeah, so I studied music theater at Anderson University here in Anderson, Indiana. And you know, I was really not sure exactly which direction I was going to go. I did some TV and film when I was in college as well. So, you know, some people thought I was going to end up out in LA. I think pretty quickly I realized that Broadway was never really the route for me. But ultimately, after my senior year of college, ended up auditioning for Walt Disney World, and got cast as one of their performers down there, and spent a year at Disney performing in parades and shows in all four parks at all kinds of different resorts, did their Christmas parade, all kinds of stuff. And it was an incredible, incredible experience, especially for that time of my life. You know, when I went down there, I was fresh out of college, and there was a lot of, you know, people either in college or fresh out of college that head down to Disney for their college program. So, you know, it was an amazing opportunity to get away from home and kind of explore who I was, what I wanted out of life. But I pretty quickly realized that the starving artist lifestyle was not really for me. You know, a lot of times we were working 60, 70 hours a week, was barely making any money. Even at that time, as a performer, we're one of the higher paid cast members there. And I think I was maybe making 10, 25 an hour. And, you know, lived with three other roommates, sharing a place, and it just wasn't the future that I necessarily saw for myself. So decided to move back home to Indiana in 2019. Wasn't really sure what was going to be next, and got a big boy job in health insurance. And it was enough to pay the bills. It was the most money I had ever made in my life. And even that was at, like, I don't know, $14 an hour or something like that. But I thought I was really
making it.
I was making it. You know, I just increased my weekly wage by $4 an hour. So I thought I was on the right track. And about 3 months into my job in this world of health insurance, I was just absolutely miserable. I was sitting at a computer, you know, for 40 hours a week, 8 hours a day, in a cubicle with four or five other coworkers around me, barely anybody to engage with, barely anybody to dream with, you know what I mean? And it was just a very monotonous, boring job. And I went from this lifestyle of, like, performing and dreaming and helping people be creative and being creative myself. And now I'm sitting at a desk processing insurance claims all day.
Woo-hoo. You went from the most magical place on earth to one of the more boring places on earth. And by the way, I'm not poking fun at you or the health insurance industry. That's the industry I came from prior to this. So I feel like I'm able to make poke fun
to
at
speak
it.
To that.
Go ahead. Yep. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So it was just a wild transition. And I knew I needed something different. And real estate was always something that had kind of been at the back of my mind. I didn't really have any friends or family members in real estate. So there wasn't anybody necessarily, you know, guiding me or saying, oh, you should get into real estate. It was just one of those things I was interested in. And I didn't really know why, but I was like, you know what? It's $600 for a course, 90 hours here in the state of Indiana to go through that pre-licensing course. What do I have to lose? And so I took the course, passed the test, and that was January of 2019. When I walked into a Keller Williams office, signed my name, and started my career in real estate.
You started at a very interesting time, right? So 2019 was pre-pandemic, right? And then 2020 happened and everything shifted. And by the way, let's talk about your first year before we get to the pandemic. So you had a really pretty good first year. You sold 9 homes, which I know it, you know, might not sound like a great first year, but it really is a great first year. It might not be financially a great first year, but you're at least getting deals. I know my boss, who was a rookie of the year for in 2002, when he joined, when he started his career, he didn't get a sale for his first 7 months, and then he got like 6 sales, and but he ended up with maybe 9 to 10 sales in that year as well, and he was rookie of the year for the Chicago Association. So that is an incredible first year. How did you do it? How did you find clients? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah. So my first year, I really had no idea what I was doing. My first year was just about learning this entire industry and the process and the forms and the all the things, you know what I mean? So I really had no business experience. I was just out here trying to figure out if this was even something I was going to enjoy doing, if I was going to be any good at it, and if I could find, you know, make a career out of this. So crazy enough, I actually got my first client within my first 30 days. And it was a referral to me. Yeah, it was actually my first 2 clients were referrals. One was a buyer, one was a listing. And what I essentially did, you know, I guess I should go backwards. I was still working in that full-time 40-hour week health insurance job. So my husband at the time had gone back to school to be a kindergarten teacher. And so in order for us to make ends meet, the only way for me to pursue this career was for me to keep that 40-hour a week job. And so, you know, that was the decision, the sacrifice that we kind of had to make. And, you know, I would just wake up every day. Oftentimes I was at my desk, in downtown Indianapolis at 6 a.m. so that I could be off work by 2 p.m. And then I would drive straight up to Carmel, which is about a 35-minute drive from where I was working. And I would sit in the office and I would listen to conversations. I would ask questions. I would just be around the people that were doing this at, you know, for a full-time career. And it really, I think, shaped so much of the beginning of my career, just being able to be around all of these brilliant people that were so eager to pour into me when they saw me showing up day after day after day.
Yeah, people are always, other realtors are often very impressed with effort, and especially from younger agents. And I know agents I've had on the show who I say, hey, how often do newer agents come up and ask you if they can sit in open house? And they'll say, this is not uncommon either, which I didn't know until I started interviewing agents. Some agents would say, well, the first time someone asks, I say no. And then I see if they come back and I see if they're showing up at the office and I see if they're, you know, really doing the work. Once I see, like you were saying, that, you know, hey, this person really cares about the business and seems to be putting in the effort. And, oh, by the way, he's working this other job. And I just want to make this one quick point. I never get to say this. Anyone who says you cannot have a part-time job and learn this business is it harder? Yes, of course it is. It's a much harder way to go, but we all have to pay our bills and everybody, you know, and I really have a huge issue with firms that are like, you have to do it. Yes. In an ideal world, everyone would do it full-time, but that's just not the reality of a good majority of our agents are part-time. Yes. So it can be done. And you have now made that transition. And so I'm hoping this becomes very inspiring to anyone out there who is working another job and who desperately wants to not work another job. Some people like keeping both, and that's fine. Yeah. So I love the fact that you started out, you know, doing it part-time, and probably there were firms that probably told you that wasn't the way to do it. I'm guessing not obviously the firm you joined, but other firms will go, oh, you're part-time, we're not interested.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so glad you said that, DJ, because it's very true. And I tell new agents that come into our doors all the time. You know, as you mentioned earlier, I was the assistant team leader for our market center, helping grow the company and mentor 270 of our agents. And I would have agents sit down and the first thing they would say is, you know, I do have another job, but you know, I'm trying to figure out a way to quit. I'm trying to save enough money. And I was like, hold on. Like, I'm not telling you or asking you to go upend your life and not be able to put food on the table for your family. Like, you have to even figure out if this is actually a career you want to do. And you're going to figure that out pretty quickly. And so, you know, I appreciate you saying that because I believe the same thing. I always tell agents, you have to do what you have to do in order to make ends meet. Now, there is something to be said, and that's a part of my story as well. You know, I did sell 9 houses my first year. I was excited about that. I think I made about $35,000 in real estate. But the funny thing is I made just as much selling 9 houses, so less than 1 house a month, than I was making at a full-time 40-hour a week job that I absolutely despise. And so that was kind of the aha for me of like, wait a second, I actually like this job a lot. I think I could make a career out of this. I'm getting some pretty good traction early on. And if the bare minimum is selling 1 house a month and I can make the same amount of money, I would much rather do this.
Well, let's talk about year 2, because year 2 had a massive jump for you. So did Cameron go full-time in year 2? No, not yet. Mm-hmm. But how many deals did you close in your second year?
Yep. So year 2, my goal was to double my business. I was a newer agent. I didn't really know what the metrics, the volume, the units, all that stuff needed to be. But I'm like, hey, if I could double it, I think that'd be pretty good. I ended up closing out the year, quadrupling my business. I sold 38 units, right around $8 million in volume. Our average sales price is, you know, fairly low in the Indianapolis metropolitan area. Right now it's around $250,000. So for some listeners that may be like, what? 8 million, 38 houses. So, but yeah, I was extremely excited about that. And what it allowed me to do was get to the point where I was like, there's no way I can continue working this other job, even if I wanted to. Like, I just had so much business that, you know, fortunately in August of 2020, we were buying a new house, our second house. And so the day we closed, I got on a call with my boss and put in my 2 weeks notice. had to get out of that job as quickly as I could. So
this is an incredible story because, yeah, so for the first 8 months of 2020, Cam did have that other job. And then and that last quarter of that second year, he was like, all right, I cannot do both anymore. But for the vast majority of that year, you had 2 full-time jobs, and that is really a testament to your work ethic. And I suspect that goes back to, you know, your dedication to theater and also specifically Disney, right? So Disney, I would imagine, and I've worked at companies like Disney, not Disney directly, but I worked for Anheuser-Busch. And what I learned from Anheuser-Busch at the time, they were the number one beer company in the world, certainly in this country as well. And the precision and the perfection that they demanded, which sounds kind of funny because we don't technically think of Anheuser-Busch as being high-end stuff, but the way that they do their products, Walt Disney, same way. Everything is absolutely, they have to create perfection as close as possible because that's what they're selling. And I imagine that probably instilled in you an amazing work ethic just because of how hard you were working for almost no pay when you were down there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, just to speak to the Walt Disney World Company, even just the training that you go through, I mean, down to the finest details of, you know, when you're guiding somebody in a certain direction, either an open palm or 2 fingers, like everything has been thought out and has a reasoning behind it. And so you're right, you know, it really did. It was one of the best opportunities I've ever had in my life, you know, being the young age that I was when I went down there, and it shaped so much of who I was at that time of my life. And there's still so much of my time at Disney that shows up in our work and our team, things that I've brought into our business as well. So, yeah.
And 2020 was also a crazy year to be able to do 38 sales as a junior broker. You're in your junior agent. You're in your second year. Yep. You're working another job. You don't totally know what you're doing yet, but you're doing well enough. And all of a sudden, you quadrupled your business. How did you quadruple your business? What do you attribute that to?
Yeah. So there's actually a really key part of my story that happened in the first quarter of 2020. So before the pandemic even happened. So at the time, my husband and I, we were living in our first house that we bought. We were recently married just a couple of months. And like I said, he went back to school. So he left his full-time job. And we really only had my income plus, you know, the income of real estate at that time coming in. And I remember sitting down, and it was sometime around January, February of 2020, and we were doing our biweekly budget. And every time we would do our budget, we would have to take $1,000 out of our savings account in order to pay our bills. And we were literally about 30 to 45 days away from completely wiping out our savings account and living paycheck to paycheck. And we sat there, tears running down our faces, like, what the heck are we going to do? I know Tyson couldn't, you know, go get a job. He's got to be at school every day. And so it was like, all right, Cam, you got to do what you know how to do and go out there and just hit the ground running. And that's exactly what I did. And so really, you know, when people ask me, how did you build your business? There's three things that I really kind of focused on. One of them was open houses. You know, it's an easy answer for a lot of people, and yet a lot of people don't do them. And
crazy number of people don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah, they don't believe in them. And especially if you're a new agent, I can't think of any other thing that you should be doing with your time. So I would do 2 to 3 open houses every single weekend. I was super proactive versus, you know, rather than waiting for an agent to come and say, hey, you know, I have a listing. Do you want to do an open house? Every Tuesday or Wednesday of that week, I would get on my company's, you know, my office's listings, see what was new in the areas that I wanted to serve, and then what ones would show really well and what, you know, ones that I thought a lot of people would come to. And I would reach out directly to those agents. Hey, can I, you know, do an open house on 123 Main Street? And I would get 2 to 3 of them for that weekend. And then it was an opportunity for social media as well. So when you're at the house leading up to it and all of that. And so what I think it ended up doing, you know, a lot of people talk about capturing market share, meaning like, you know, you're in a neighborhood or an area and you sell more homes than anybody else in that area. What I was really trying to attempt, and we, you know, it's talked about this in the MREA book, the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book by Gary Keller, is, you know, capturing mind share.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, to me, every person knows, I don't know, 5-7 realtors out there. And when somebody thinks of real estate at that point in my career, where do I fit? Am I number 5? And how can I, you know, slowly work my way up to that number 1 spot? And part of that was, you know, making it appear as though I was a lot more successful in real estate than I was in the very beginning. So, sure. The, you know, my sphere, the people following me on social media and all of that, they didn't know that those weren't my listings, but they see me get into this career and I'm posting 2 to 3 listings every single week. They're like, dang, Cam is crushing it.
He's doing something.
Yeah. He's doing something, you know, and it just really starts to build your validity. And I think because of the open houses, getting people in through the door, it also built my confidence about talking this whole world and lingo of real estate. People are going to ask you questions right there on the spot that you hopefully have researched. And if you, you know, didn't, it gives you an opportunity to follow up with them. So it really built my confidence and understanding of homes and different areas and things like that. And then the third thing I did was first-time homebuyer seminars. So I hosted my first homebuyer seminar within about 60 days of getting into the industry. I really had no idea what I was doing. I, you know, had bought one house myself. I was in the process of helping some of my first clients, but, you know, I didn't have 100 transactions under my belt to be able to talk about all kinds of different experiences. But I knew if I didn't host one of these, or I didn't talk about what I know in real estate, then I wasn't going to help anybody. And so I figured, you know what, anybody coming in the door, I probably know a little bit more than they do if they're trying to buy their first house. So I think I'll be able to help them. And I think my first one, I had 6 or 7 people come to them, and I just started doing them every quarter. So between those three things, that's really, you know, open houses, social media, and first-time homebuyer seminars, that's really what I think helped propel me forward and go from selling 9 houses my first year to 38 my next year, because people started seeing me as that realtor of choice and trusting me.
It's really smart too, because people do, you know, check social media usually daily. And when they can see that somebody is consistently doing something in real estate, it just, you know, it's just marketing 101, you know, what we call immersion. They just start to see you as that over time. And that repetition eventually starts to move you up potentially, because it's not, oh, he's not just a realtor. Look at all this cool stuff he's doing. He's clearly in the business. And and that to me is super impressive. I had a question about the first-time home buyer seminars. Were you doing those virtually or in person?
So pre-COVID, I was doing them in person. Once COVID happened, we actually went to host one once the world started opening back up. And we went to host one and gave an opportunity for people to be in person or via Zoom, and they could choose. And we asked them to let us know ahead of time which one. And every single person ended up selecting via Zoom. And we had 15 people on that one. And so we ended up canceling the in-person option and have done them via Zoom ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. We've all gotten conditioned, and it is fun to do in-person events, of course, but it's certainly a lot more to put together and just a lot more to coordinate. And when you were doing your first home buyer seminars, were you also partnering with lenders or other partners that could help promote it for you or provide some, you know, information that they could share during the presentation?
Yes, absolutely. So every first-time homebuyer seminar we've done, we always partner with one of our lenders, and we really go in on that together. We have a, you know, at this point, nice presentation where I'll start, introduce, you know, the lender and let them kind of take it from there, because my belief is that the most important first step of the home buying process is getting pre-approved. So why not let the lender start and educate them on what that process looks like, and then kind of come in from there and talk about, you know, why you need a real estate agent to go through this process and what a real estate agent is going to do for you through this process. And the whole goal too is, you know, we don't talk in our first time home buyer seminars as if like they are our clients. We are there trying to earn that business, because we do get people that we have no relationships with. They find it on social media, or, you know, from an email campaign or something like that, posted in the library, and they'll show up to our seminars. And so again, we want to earn the opportunity to get their business instead of talking as if we already have it.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point, is we are here to earn the business, and we're doing that by providing value and demonstrating value, so that, you know, I've always heard, if you have to ask, and different schools of thoughts on this, I'm just one school of thought is, if you have to ask for the business, maybe you didn't project your value well enough. And again, that's not going to always be true, but something very successful financial advisor once told me, if you're talking to somebody and they don't say, how do I sign up with you for as a financial advisor, you probably missed something, as opposed to saying, well, are you ready to sign up with me? So, I'm not suggesting you can't ask for business as well, but I love this idea of leading with value, leading with education. And that, I agree that seems to be, I don't like to be sold personally. I like to go, hey, I want to see how much you're into it, how much you know, and then I'm going to pick the person I think is going to do the best job. And so I look for education in my accountant, my doctors, the person cuts my hair. I'm like, how do I style this? You know, all of these things, I look for education, and I suspect I'm not unique in that sense. So that's amazing. So you've been doing these first-time homebuyer seminars for some time. Are you still doing the open houses every weekend?
So I myself am typically not doing the open houses, just because I have built a real estate team now, and my focus is more on listings as well as growing the individuals that are a part of our team. So I coach all of our individuals, and we can talk more about the team as well if you'd like. But you know, my time is spent so much with our people now that you have to figure out kind of what your unique ability is, and to build my business all day long. And it doesn't mean I won't do an open house. I absolutely still will. It's just not where I'm typically serving my weekends.
Sure. And you know, it's interesting too. So as you know, you haven't just built a team. You've also mentored almost 300 agents, which I'm only laughing because it's such an absurd number for how short of a time you've been in this industry, and it's just beyond impressive. So you have really, really helped a lot of newer agents or agents that were struggling. And I'm curious, is, you know, you already mentioned your sort of three-tiered approach, which is, you know, social media, open houses, and I forgot what the, and first time home buyer seminars. You know, are those typically how you would coach a newer agent today? Somebody who, he's shaking his head. So what would you say to an agent who's starting today? I want to hear it.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the funny thing is when I speak at panels or at events or things like that, people always want to know, Cam, what did you do to build your business? And they think that if I tell them the secret sauce, they're going to turn around and do it. And it's going to work exactly that the same way for them. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And so what I always tell people is you have to figure out what works for you. If I tell you to go do an open house and you want to claw your eyes out, then open houses probably aren't going to be your thing. You know, if somebody tells me to go door knocking, I'm going to run and hide. So I had to figure out what are the things that do actually bring me joy? What are the things that I, you know, love to do? And I'm going to wake up every single day motivated and excited to do it. And so that's exactly the way I'm going to coach an agent. Now, here are some ideas on things that you can do. And if one of these sounds interesting to you, go study the people that are doing that at the highest level and master it. And, you know, what I talk with a lot of new agents about, I think one of the pitfalls new agents have, and maybe even some experienced agents as well, is everybody's out here trying to be the master of everything. And we're all out here digging these, you know, 100 foot wells versus going out and digging one 1,000 foot well and digging it deeper and better than anyone else out there. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if you're going to do open houses and you say this is the thing that I'm going to give a shot, you can't do two. Nobody shows up and you say, well, open houses stink. I'm never doing them again. No, you have to commit to it. You have to study it. Go study the people that are doing open houses every weekend. How many signs do I have to put out? How many do I have to do? Am I doing them in the right areas? Am I doing them on the right days and the right times? Because the reality is there are teams and agents all across the country that produce millions and millions and millions of dollars in revenue every single year from open houses. And so you've got to go out. And my, you know, when I coach new agents, it's really figure out what your three pillars are going to be and go focus on those.
Yeah. Hyper focus. And also, you know, geographically, I'm also a big fan of, you know, you're in a major area, you know, you have metropolitan Indiana, you've got the Indianapolis, you've got the suburbs like Carmel. Carmel. Yeah. I always forget California, Carmel and Carmel in Indianapolis, which by the way, I've been to Carmel, Indiana. That's where like all the really good schools are, I think, from what I understand. And it's a really great suburb. There used to be RCA, the old electronics company used to be out there anyway, a million years ago. But that is neither here nor there. But the idea of specializing, I think is really, really important. And I think you're right too. It's, you got to do what you enjoy because you're going to be doing a lot of it, right? Yeah. So whatever it is that you're selecting as your marketing or your business development or, you know, client acquisition sort of tasks, you better enjoy that to some extent because, and the other thing too, because you just said something that was really quite profound and I want to just discredit it at all because you're absolutely right. But I wanted to add something onto it. So it's funny because I was thinking about myself as you were talking about this. So I've done this podcast for, I think, 6 years now. And I would love to tell you that I am the best podcaster in the real estate space. That's not true. So I'm not going to say that. I don't think I am. But I have a pretty big following. And I wouldn't say it's because I'm so good. It's just because I've been doing this consistently for 6 years. So we're one of the most listened to shows. Maybe I have some sort of natural ability at it. Maybe I've gotten better over the years. I'm sure that's true. But here's what I haven't done, which is what I should be doing, which is what Cam just said. I should be studying the other podcasts that are in my space, not so that I can beat them, but just so that I can see what everyone else is doing and how do I elevate my own game? How do I become a better interviewer? How do I bring the best out of my guests?
Yes.
And Cam just actually inspired me to start doing that myself. But I will tell you, even if you don't, improve your skills, and you just show up and do the work consistently, you will get some still pretty impressive results. Yes. So what do they say? Like, success is 90% just showing up.
Yeah.
So what has Cam done since he's, you know, since he's been in real estate? He didn't have time to start a second career, but he did. He had a need to, and he found time to go to the office after his first job. I've never heard of anybody doing that, by the way. That is so cool that you did that. And by the way, not easy. And yeah. He was doing that. He was hanging around. He was absorbing what other agents told him. He was in the presence of great agents, or at least some great agents at your firm. And he just, you know, got a lot of opportunities just from being around. And he's like, I'm going to do open houses every single weekend. Of course, you got better at them as you went along. And also you were studying to how do I make these the most effective and efficient ways. And you like doing them. Yeah. So it really is this magic combination of you should like what you're doing because you're going to do a lot of it. So pick something you enjoy. But also, too, if you can, next level is start studying the other people doing things. In fact, if it was me, I'd go to other people's open houses and start to see, especially the really big producers, be like, what are they doing? Because I'm sure there's little tricks and I'm sure you probably did that, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What to do and also what not to do. I remember going into open houses and nobody would greet me. There's an agent just sitting there at a table and I'm like, are we going to engage at all?
And they don't know you're a realtor, maybe.
No, they have no idea. I mean, there's still people. I'm pretty involved in our industry at this point, but there's still a ton of people that don't know who I am. So I could walk into somebody's open house today to study or, you know, to see what's going on. And yeah, I mean, there's so many open houses I went into that nobody would engage with me. There was nothing I filled out for them to capture my information. You know what I mean? So definitely study people and make sure you're studying the right people. And also, you know, be aware of what you don't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you only will know that after trying as many options as possible. And so you talked about if you were coaching a new person today, you would probably suggest for them to try a number of different activities, you know, business development activities, also learning. Oh, let's talk about learning the market. Mm-hmm. How do you approach mastering your market? Because it's one thing to get clients, and that's, I think we've given some great advice there, but also then you have to take great care of them and you have to know what you're doing. So how are you mastering your market and what advice do you have for agents to start to develop that mastery?
Yeah. So we are very numbers oriented on our team. We track a lot of things and that did not just happen one day. You know what I mean? I didn't just wake up and I'm like, oh, these are all the things I'm going to track. You know, I have all this experience. I always tell people, like, I come from dancing on Main Street USA. I did not have any background in business or business experience. I was a server for most of my life as well. You know what I mean? So everything I have learned has been because I've put myself in front of people that are doing all of this 10 times better than I am doing. And I'm sitting there front row, ready to learn, taking notes, asking questions. So you got to be willing to do that. But every single week in our team, we track the market numbers. So basically the two main markets we service, Marion County, which would be where Indianapolis would reside, as well as Hamilton County, which is where I live, our offices. It's one of the, you know, consistently ranked one of the number one counties all across the United States, Carmel, Fishers, all that good stuff. And we track everything on there from how many new listings hit the market, how many sold, how many pended, how many expired, what's the median sales price, all of that kind of stuff. And we look at that data every single week because it helps us better understand what's going on in the market. And it helps us look at trends. So when things are going up and going down and things like that, is this some freak thing that's happening because interest rates went up or down a whole percentage? Or is this cyclical? This happens consistently. Or is this the result of a global pandemic? You know, all of these things, by tracking that consistently and looking at it every single week, we can better educate our clients as well on, hey, this is actually a great time to sell because based off this time last year, there was low inventory and a high number of homes that were pending. You know, that shows us that, you know, there's going to be a lot of not as much competition out there for you and more people looking at your home. So we really track and look at all of those market statistics on a weekly basis as a team and have conversations around it with our team too, so that our team can go out there with our buyers and sellers and have those conversations as well.
Curious about how you are currently, you and the team are handling the low inventory sort of issue that pretty much every major market is facing right now. So is that a thing in your current market, and how are you help coaching your team on how to still thrive or, you know, survive during, you know, a time when there's less opportunity?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess to the benefit of the time I got into this industry in January of 2019, and then going into COVID, pretty much the entire business I've ever known has been low inventory. You know what I mean? So it's not like I'm having to pivot my strategies or anything. It has always been having to be really creative on helping my clients find properties. And a lot of times that might be off-market properties as well. So we have conversations around that as well. If an agent on our team is saying, you know, oh, I've been working with Susie for 2 months and I just can't find anything, we're constantly losing offers, we got to sit down and strategize, because clearly what's hitting the market, you know, they don't have the ability to go above and beyond and be as strong as some of, you know, as maybe they need to. So maybe we need to look at finding something off market. So we'll do mailers to a community. There's a way through Remind to pull an entire community and actually access their email addresses. You know, most people are just going to send mailers, but you can actually access people's email addresses and you can send information about open houses. You can send information to them. Hey, I have a client that's looking for these specific, you know, 3-2 in Hamilton County. Are you interested in selling? Those kind of things. So you just have to be willing to do things that no other agent is willing to do. And if you sit back and just wait for the houses to hit the market, well, you're going to be out there in the long line waiting to get in like everybody else is.
Yeah, I agree. So I was just looking up while you were talking there on what the current interest rate is as of today for a 30-year fixed. And if I'm looking at my numbers correctly, there's a chance you may be correcting me, but I believe the national average is 7.3 and we're seeing as low as 6.4. So somewhere in that range, that is obviously higher than most people would have preferred today, as well as in the past several years when we saw 3% rates or less. But that's not where we are anymore. So how are you coaching your buyers who are, you know, interest rate sensitive to, I'm going to wait until the market comes down. You know, what is your approach? Or sorry, I'm going to wait until interest rates come down. So what would be your approach if you have a buyer who's in that position?
Yeah. So, and we've had this conversation a lot. I actually just had a listing appointment a couple of weeks ago with some sellers that thought they were going to wait until the fall to sell because they wanted to save a little bit money. And we had a conversation on, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to do what's best for your guys' situation. And yet, let's look at what the price of the home is that you would likely purchase today is. Okay, you have a budget, you want to go up to 500. So this same house that you're going to buy for 500,000, over the course of the next 6 to 8 months, all of these other homes around that are going to start selling. And they're going to see that that house sold for 500. So they're going to try to get 510, 525, 540. Next thing you know, this exact same house that you wanted to purchase, if we purchase it today at 500, is going to maybe cost you 540,000 here in the fall. And also that you could save an extra 10,000 bucks. So really, what is the cost of wait? What is waiting costing you? And when it comes to the you know, situation of interest rates, the reality is interest rates just are what they are right now. We've been hearing, and I know you feel this too. I mean, we've been hearing for over a year that interest rates are coming down. And we were told this year that they're, you know, we've got several interest rate drops coming, and they actually ended up going up. Right. They came down and they jumped right back up. And so if everybody's just going to sit around and wait for interest rates to drop, I mean, you could be waiting 2 or 3 years before they get to a point of what, you know, they might feel comfortable. So what I tell people is, if you can afford the payment now, the only thing that's going to happen, I hope, the only thing that's going to happen over the course of the next couple of years is interest rates do come down. You're able to refinance and you end up going, you know, you're going to be able to cut a good chunk of money off of your monthly payment every single month. But make sure you can afford the payment and feel comfortable with that payment now. And then you're only going to feel better because now you've got the house, you're seeing every other house around you sell for even more than what you bought it for, and your interest rate came down, so your monthly payment just dropped as well.
Great, great point. And basically what Cam is saying is if we wait until interest rates drop by, 100 basis points or 200 basis points, we are going to see the pricing explode because more buyers flood the market. And we're going to not only have more expensive homes that are currently what they're priced today at, but more competition. We're going to have a lot of people, and we're going to start to see what happened several years ago, which if you were able to buy something and you were lucky enough to get an offer accepted, good for you. But a lot of, 95% of offers didn't get accepted because there were, dozens and dozens of offers. Last question. Now, this is a question you may not have dealt with yet, but it is on everybody's mind. Technically, in the co-op field, we can now offer $0, 0%. I don't know if you've seen this yet. However, if you were to see this, you're working with a buyer and you see in the co-op compensation field that it is $0. So in other words, the seller is not going to be compensating you as the buyer's agent. Have you started to think about what you would do in that situation?
Absolutely. So number one, buyer agency agreements all day long. I've been using them since I got into this industry and just always have. So for me, it's not something I've ever shied away from conversations around the value that I as an agent provide to our clients. We in our market currently have not necessarily seen any of the $0, your commission, things like that yet. And yet who's to know when they will hit, the Midwest.
They will at some point.
Yes. Yeah. The Midwest is oftentimes one of the last to see some of these things trickle in. But yeah, absolutely. And we're having conversations not only with our team, but with our brokerage as well on how to make sure we're preparing our agents on how to have these conversations. And it's really about just, explaining your value. And if you can't explain your value to your client, well, then you're going to have a hard time, when it comes to having that conversation. And I hope more and more agents, in fact, there's actually a bill going through the State House in Indiana that would make it law, put it into law and really leave it up to the brokerages more so. But if that doesn't pass, then the Indiana Association of Realtors has already, requested that IAR make it a requirement. So regardless of whether you feel comfortable with it now or not, it's going to be something, at least in our state, that people are going to be required to start having conversations around. And what's always interested in me is we require listing contracts when it comes to sell a home.
Right.
Why in the world do we shy away from, signing and establishing our working relationship with somebody?
Well, it is a tricky conversation to work with buyers and say, hey, just in case this were to happen, we have to figure out a way to compensate me. Here's a couple of ideas. And maybe that buyer comes out of pocket, or maybe you try to negotiate with the seller to afford you some sort of commission, or whatever. There's a million different ways to do it. And I hope that there will be service providers that sort of come to the rescue of a buyer. And, maybe it's a separate mortgage with its own interest rate just for the commission. Who knows? Something will get figured out. But it's important to sort of have an answer for that today, as opposed to, if that were to happen, here's how I will be compensated by you, Mr. or Mrs. Buyer. And that is a tricky conversation because we've never had to have that before. So it is a new thing, but it will all get worked out. But I'm glad to see that even though you haven't seen it in your marketplace, certainly you will see it at some point. And hopefully it won't become the norm, but time will tell. But I love the fact that you have devoted so much of your success to either being educated yourself or educating your customers and clients. You're doing it through, market, through education around, first time home buying. You're doing it through open houses and really just immersing yourself in the business. And we're wrapping up now. I would like to encourage anyone who is in it's Hamilton County and Marion County. If you are an agent that works in those areas and you feel you're not getting the attention you need from your existing team, your brokerage, wherever you might be working, and you want to see another option, well, Cam is, his team is growing and he and his team are crushing it. And he would love to not just have you on the team possibly, but also mentor you and give you some great advice. He's mentored almost 300 agents already, which is unbelievable. So Cam, for anyone out there who's like, I may want to check out what Cam Beening and his team are going to offer, what's the best way they should reach out to you?
Yep. You can follow us on social media. So mine, again, on Instagram is I am Cam I am. That's usually the best place to get a hold of me. I've almost maxed out on Facebook. So please don't friend request me because I probably won't.
You might not friend you back.
I might not accept it because I'm down to just a handful more. So, but yeah, Instagram is going to be the easiest way to find me, and you can give me a follow, direct message me. And if you have interest and further conversations about joining a team, you know, our brokerage or our team, I'm more than happy and would be honored to chat with you.
And not only that, Cam will also let you know if you're not a good fit for what he's looking for.
Yes.
And I mean that in a very positive way. He may even direct you, hey, I know this other firm that would be perfect for you. Cam is just a really generous, lovely person. So please reach out to him. He'll point you in the right direction, whether it's to his team or even elsewhere. And he's a 30 under 30 nominee or award winner. So this is, something the National Association of Realtors does every single year. And they basically look for the 30 best and brightest who are new or under 30 years old and essentially new to the business. And you have obviously caught their eye. I'm actually heading over to the National Association of Realtors the minute after I leave because the Chicago Association is in the same building. But if I run into any National Association people who are part of the 30 under 30 committee, I'm going to be like, I just talked to Cam. they'll probably say, oh, that guy's great. So please, guys, reach out to him. And by the way, if you are a realtor in another part of the country and you have clients that are moving to Indianapolis or the suburbs of Indy, talk to Cam and his team. They are the kings of the metro area and places like Carmel and the other surrounding suburbs. Please consider him as an agent to refer to. And guess what? A lot of Cam's clients, when they retire, they're probably going somewhere south, somewhere warm.
Yeah.
So he is going to, in fact, you may even have a license in Florida or something someday too.
One day.
So definitely reach out to him. It'd be a great partnership. And maybe you guys can pass some referrals back and forth. All right, Cam, thank you so much. Cam Beening, everyone. We didn't mention your husband is also on your team and you guys run this team together. So you and Tyson are this powerhouse team. Is he also still teaching or is he doing this full time? Or
nope. Yeah. So he left teaching in 2021 and came and joined me on the dark side of real estate. And yeah, we've been running it together ever since. He is our director of ops. And so he wants nothing to do with sales. And that's why it works for us. We just stay in each other, stay out of each other's lanes.
Very, very smart. And when it's two committed people working together, you have to have that figured out, and you guys have that figured out. So congratulations, not an easy thing for a married couple to do, but you guys are doing it and obviously it's working. So Cam, on behalf of everyone on our show, listening to our show, we thank you. You're an incredible young man. I don't want to say young man, makes you sound like you're a teenager. You're an incredible man in his 20s who is really crushing it in real estate. We're so honored to have you on the show. So thank you on behalf of the audience. On behalf of Cam and myself, thank you to the audience for making it to the end of the episode. Please tell a friend. Please share this with another agent. In maybe a newer agent, somebody who's newer and struggling. And if you're newer right now, you're probably struggling a little bit. So share this with someone else in your office. It may just give them the motivation or some strategies to actually move forward. Cam gave some really specific examples of what to do if he were new. And also, so on behalf of everyone, thank you. We thank Cam and tell a friend and also leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show, whatever podcast app or social platform you might be listening to us on. Or watching us on, please let us know what you think of the show. It really helps us improve so we can continue to better serve you and also support our sponsors. We love our sponsors and they are the ones that keep the whole ship afloat. So thank you so much to everybody. And Cam, we will see you continue to watch your star rise. And then also want to also remind everyone that we do several episodes of these a week. So we are also, one last thing I'll mention, we are starting again to do short form video clips. So we finally got a system in place. So we're going to be posting several short form video clips per day on all the different social channels. So just search for the Keeping It Real podcast. You'll find us, hit that subscribe button, and we'll start serving up content, not just twice a week, but literally like twice a day with these short form clips, which we will have many of those for today's episode as well. So watch out for that. All right, Cam, thank you so much. We will see everybody on the next episode. Thanks, Cam.
Thank you.